Hello, listener friends. It is I, Sam. I just wanted to make a quick announcement, I guess, before this week's episode in regards to the sound quality as well as some weird missing chunks of audio. So while I was editing this episode last week, I accidentally deleted some of the raw audio files. We managed to recover most of them and put them in the right places, but there are about 17 that are still lost. So if there are any weird cuts or I go silent for a few minutes, not minutes, but seconds, that would be the reason why. Ideally, we do like to release every other week, but because of my major fuck up this week, we had to delay a bit. So thank you for your patience, all one of you, and I hope you enjoy this week's discussion on hashtag horror. Bye! Hello and welcome back to The Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Sam Odie. And I'm joined
And I'm your co-host.
I was actually going by your notes this time.
Sorry.
And you fucked it up.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to our podcast, and today we will be reviewing hashtag horror. Now for a small
fabulous
summary.
Film.
Now for a summary of the film.
Oh, yes.
Straight from Wikipedia. Hashtag horror is a 2015 American horror film written and directed by Tara Subkoff and starring Chloe Sevigny, Timothy Hutton, Natasha Lyonne, Taryn Manning, and Balthazar Getty. The plot follows a group of wealthy 7th grade girls who face a night of terror together after a social network game spirals out of control. The film premiered on November 18th, 2015 at the Museum of Modern Art and was released in a limited release and through video on demand on November 20th, 2015 by IFC Midnight. So Stormy, what did you think of this movie?
Well, I, you know, not great.
Not great.
Not great. Overall, not great. I mean, I was hoping it would be more of a, like, kind of messed up tale of, like, you know, like, childhood. I didn't realize it was just going to all take place in the span of, like, one evening,
Oh, my God, and what just, a long-ass evening it was.
It was, because the evening started at, like, 1 p.m. or some shit.
Yeah, that's going to be probably my biggest criticism of the movie.
Just, like, when the timeline is all fucked up and it's too long.
Yeah, when we get to story and writing, that's definitely going to be a huge thing I bitch about, because I think we're going to get through the character section very fast, because you and I had the same issue where they all blended together into one annoying 12-year-old girl.
Yes.
And we're allowed to say that because we, at one point, were 12-year-old girls, and we know how fucking annoying we can be.
Yes, absolutely. But these ones were just, like, ultra annoying just because of we had the conversation about what the fuck were they even doing during the sleepover, like nothing fun whatsoever. The only thing that they fucking did was just like dress up and take 1,000 fucking pictures of each other, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, and then like post them, and I'm like, holy crap, like this is outrageous. It was just too much pictures. Like the whole hour was like them taking pictures of each other. It was too much.
Sorry, my dumbass forgot to put up the pop filter, so that's all the background noise you're hearing right now.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, but like, see, regarding
today we're filming like maybe 8 hours earlier than we usually do. surprisingly, we have our shit together for once.
Yes, yes.
And having our shit together is really throwing me off.
Right, like right now on the East Coast, it's like 1:40.
1:41.
1:41. And that's like usually when I wake up. So.
Me too.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, this morning I woke up once at 10 and I was like way too early because I don't go to sleep until 5 because I'm healthy like that.
Yeah.
And so I went back to sleep and then I woke up maybe 10 minutes before my alarm was supposed to go off in a panic because I couldn't find my phone with my alarm. And I'm like, oh my God, it's probably 2 o'clock and Stormy is super pissed at me right now. But then I opened up my laptop and it was only 11:23 and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, yes. You found your phone?
Yeah, I did.
That's good. That's good.
And I'm going to be, like, straight up honest. I was really worried we'd stop being friends because of this movie. Either scenario one, you loved it and I would lose all respect for you as a horror fan. Or two, you just hated me for putting you through this, knowingly putting you through this movie.
Knowingly, yeah.
Because I watched it once before, like, last year, I think. Under the same assumptions you had about the movie, that it would just be about...
cyberbullying.
Yeah, fucked up cyberbullying.
This is, like, absolute... Like, to all our listeners, if you think this is about cyberbullying, it's, like, not really at all.
No.
Maybe a little bit. It's just... We'll talk about that later, but, like, seriously, it's just about taking photos of themselves with their cell phones.
Yeah.
And then, like, them being on medication. That's pretty much it.
And, again, still from Wikipedia, because I did a little bit of research last night after this movie, because this movie drained me, and I felt no inspiration to watch anything after it. Like, I've been binge-watching Say Yes to the Dress.
Really?
Yeah, just because it's something dumb to have in the background for when I'm writing. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just couldn't even put that on, because I was so done with television. But, apparently... Where is it? Okay. In Elle, Tara Sepkoff, the writer and director, said that she was inspired to write this film
after a discussion with her friend's daughter. She asked her,
"Daughter, what is horror to you?" And the girl was cyberbullied very badly. "Now, I was bullied badly as a kid, but I could always change schools. I could always go home. Now you can't. When bullying follows you home, and there's no escape and no end, to me, that's horror. And that, to so many girls, that's just life." Which, in itself, is a really great concept for a horror film.
Yeah, if she actually put it into action. Right. Like, none of that is actually being really shown here.
Right. And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but do you know who did cyberbullying a lot better in a much more entertaining way?
Who?
Unfriended.
What movie?
Unfriended.
I haven't seen that either.
It's like a...
I'll have to watch
it's
that.
It's a really stupid movie. Doesn't make a...
But it's better.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's creative in the way it filmed itself, mm-hmm. and it's fun to watch. And okay. You can actually...
I'll just have to watch it to compare.
Yeah, and it's done in real time, so it's all in one night, but it's real time. It's not...
Okay.
This long, drawn-out...
fucking winter
bullshit.
Day. Because if this movie was, like, maybe filmed maybe in the span of, like, a whole school year... And we saw, like, cyberbullying happen, like, throughout the year because the girl is, like, new.
Right.
Then it would make more sense. And then it would be kind of like, oh, I get it now. But it's just, like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on at all because we're thrown right into it. And then all of a sudden she's at a sleepover. Mm-hmm. It's just so, it's whatever. It doesn't make any fucking
and
sense.
And to some extent, I might criticize this movie a little harder because it is a woman and because the focus is on young girls. And they're just portrayed so badly in this movie, I guess.
Yeah, they really are.
Like, they're one-dimensional. Yeah.
They are. They really are.
The only time we get some depth to them is...
when they're in the movie theater talking about their childhood.
No, yeah, they're in, like, the little movie room, and then they're like, let's tell secrets. And then we only get depth from, the two girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's fine. That's it.
So we might as well just get into our notes right now.
Okay, yeah. So to start with, like, the characters and acting, I mean, what did I say? Well, the kid actors, like, we'll give them a break. Like, all they really did was, like, insult each other the whole movie, but they were convincing in the fact of like how angry or how scared they were getting when it was time to be angry and when it was time to be scared and be filled right. with fear. Like, they did that pretty well. So no yeah. complaints there, because they were just little kids. But their characters, like you said, again, they're one dimensional. And I wish since they made the one little girl a killer, why can't we have more of a backstory for her? Because all we know is that she was hospitalized before, a year before, because something happened to her. And like, did she kill people before? Like, why is she killing people now? Like, what set her off? Like, what's wrong right. with her? All we know is that, like, we know nothing. We literally know fucking nothing at all.
Absolutely. And
seriously.
Shit, what was I going to say? Like, they all blend together. Maybe Kat stands out a little just because she's the only one that gets kicked out of the party for bullying, which they're all bullying each other.
Right.
Which I really don't like Kat. She keeps, like, yelling at Sophia, the blonde girl.
Yeah, yeah, she
saying,
does.
Saying, you're the bully, but really, Kat is the one. I know. Kat's the one that's just coming out of the woodwork, harassing poor little Georgie.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, and she has the audacity to call someone else the bully.
I know. But I like Georgie.
You're right about Kat and how, and her, like, getting bullied by these people and wanting to become the most popular whatever the fuck social media they're
yeah,
using.
Yeah, right. Yeah, whatever the fuck that is. It's, like, a mixture between, like, Instagram and, like, I don't know, a game. Weird.
And had we seen, like, how this is influencing her in a negative way and how it's turning her psychotic, that would have been a really interesting movie and a different take on the whole cyberbullying after school special genre.
Right, right. I mean, like, we see her have the conversation with her dad, and like that kind of, like, when that was happening, I literally like zoned out a little bit and was paying attention to other things, like, because it didn't give me anything really, except for the fact that, like, something had happened to her before, and then she said something to her dad, and he said, don't manipulate me, mm-hmm. or something like that, and I was like, the fuck is that supposed to mean? And then her father is, like, I know he's trying to do well and portray his character well, but he's going too hard. Yes. With whenever he comes into the house, and then he, like, grabs all the girls' heads, and I was like, you don't do that, man. Like, no matter how upset you are that they mm-hmm. kick, like, you don't do that, dude. So, like, maybe he is a rapist or something. Maybe that's his thing. I mean, he's a plastic surgeon, and, like, I just feel like that's, like, a slippery kind of, you know, like, shady. And then he was, like, having sex with the mom and stuff. Like, the thing with the adults is kind of weird. And if we had more of, like, what's going on with the parents and how they influence the kids, it would just, like, amp it up and we would understand even more. And it'd be great. But we just don't get any of that, because all we get is useless story for an hour and 40 minutes.
Exactly.
It's, like, and wasted time.
Like, I really don't have that much more to say about the characters. I mean, there's Sophia's mom, who's just there. I don't.
Chloe Sevigny, yeah. I mean, like, they could have utilized her so much. She is a fantastic actress, but she's just on the screen. Like, her screen time is just, like, pointless.
She disappears for the entire movie up until the end.
Yes.
The entire movie. She's in it for, like, the first 20 minutes, and then she's gone.
Exactly.
So the real estate given to the mom, who was, mm-hmm. who added nothing to this movie.
Right.
Could have been given to, like, Kat having her mental breakdown in the woods or something. Like,
right.
Lord of the Flies style breakdown with her and her cell phone or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, we even could, if it wasn't going to be Kat, then it could have been the new girl. Who is yeah. also, like, sensitive to stuff, and she's also on, like, some kind of a medication, and she had to move schools, and they don't like her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she's an outsider. So even something like an outsider story would be fine, although it's overdone.
You know what I just thought of?
What?
You know how they're doing a all-girl remake of Lord of the Flies? Because they don't understand what
Lord of
Shit,
the Flies
yeah,
is about.
Yeah, I do know about that.
It uh-huh. would be this movie, but on an island.
Dude, yeah. All girls just bullying each other. Oh my god.
Like, you know, Lord of the Flies, it's how mask
how masculinity, when there's like no checks and balances for it, gets out of hand and you revert to your like tribal instincts. Meanwhile, this is what happens when you leave girls alone, is they go to psychological warfare with each other.
Exactly.
And like it's horrible to go through as someone who went through it personally. It's just not really that fun to watch on.
Like this isn't, and it's not entertaining when it's dragged out too much. So I'm just like, really? It's like I almost want to like stop watching it in the middle because I know I'm not going to miss any like huge crazy ending.
I actually stopped to like start making pancakes because I hadn't eaten dinner yet.
That's awesome.
I had it still going, but I'm like, I'm really not going to miss anything. What am I going to miss them dancing?
Yeah,
for
exactly.
No reason?
Them wearing the masks, like them. Yeah, like everything they were doing, just like they had no motive to do anything, really. It was just, yeah, it's almost like the whole thing was like improvised and the director was like, okay, do whatever you think comes next in like a sleepover. Okay, go. Like,
yeah, no, let's move on to story because I really have nothing else to say about characters since you brought that up. I actually wrote somewhere in my notes that it feels like it's not a cohesive movie. It's just a series of improv exercises for these young girls, which on the Wikipedia, it said that Tara Subkoff took the girls to like some acting school for improv and acting lessons.
Jesus.
So it's not far off. It's not wrong to make that note.
No, it's not wrong. What did I write about story? I just said like it's too much of everything. And it's doing too much at one time, but without having, like you said, a cohesive, like, plot that runs event, mm-hmm. event, climax, ending. It just kind of falls short. So it's combining, like, bullying, a story about an artist who went crazy in their house, and he went crazy because the house is on an evil threshold, and then the one girl is sensitive to seeing things that aren't there, and then it's just, like, too much. And then the one girl's, like, crazy and she's a killer. You know, it's just, like, all this crazy shit all in one movie. And I'm just, like, the whole thing about, like, the house and there being a crazy artist that lived there and killed everyone at his party because he went evil because a demon, like, made him do it is just too fucking much because nothing comes of that. Like, once they said that, I was like, oh, great, here comes the fucking demon that's gonna, like, I thought that it was gonna be something like that. Like, all the girls get, like, possessed by it and they kill each other, but no. So like, why even do that? No. That's so stupid.
just pick one idea and make that your best idea, because there are a lot of really good ideas in this movie. It's just they're not executed
and they just don't mesh well together, like cyberbullying and then like a crazy artist like possessed by a demon. Okay,
and you want to know something really sad? Because there are people who like this movie. When I sent you one of the tracks from the score, because the score of this movie is fantastic. When we get to production, I'll go more into detail about it. But I looked at the comments, and there's two comments. And one of the comments says, "This is one of my favorite movies. It's so simple."
What?
It's like,
it's simple because your mind is
what
simple?
What is simple? Yeah, what is simple about this movie? The screens when they're on the social media website are over the top, don't make any sense. How does that app work?
Exactly, because it's like, it's almost like there's one game that I saw that's similar to that, and it's like you have to put all the things in a row and then they go away. I don't know what kind of game that's called, but it's like a Tetris game, but it's also mixed with like Instagram because they're posting their photos and getting likes immediately with hashtags, but then I have no fucking idea what that is. It's insane.
It's the inbred baby between Instagram and the episode of Pokemon that gets people seizures.
In production, in my production notes, I say I nearly had a seizure watching the opening credits because I was like, what the fuck? Like, watching the opening credits makes me want to stop watching it.
Exactly. Like, I remember the first time watching this, and was probably back when this podcast was just a seedling of an idea. I'm not sure if I'd even brought it up to you yet. I'm like, oh my god, if I ever get this podcast started, I cannot wait to discuss this movie with whoever I discuss it with.
It's because
it's baffling.
I'm trying to think of, like, let me see, what else do I have in here?
I'm saying that it took forever to get to the end game, because we don't even see who the kill, like, the killer doesn't really kill anybody except for the very beginning and then the very, very end. So nothing in between, mm-hmm. except for, like, fluff.
Yeah, if
the cat becoming the murderer
really shoehorned in, because when you look at it, there's the kill in the beginning and then the killing right. at the end. So you could cut out both of those and replace it with a different beginning, or even just exclude that beginning with the dad and yeah. his lover. Because you're not losing anything by cutting exactly. that out.
You're not at all, because he's in it for a minute and 30 seconds and then he's dead. So
yeah, and then you can still have his daughter find the body right. at the end. Like, we don't need to see him die to just assume that there's someone out in the woods for killing real. People.
Also, when they get, the mom, like, introduces them to that room that has, like, all the jewelry in it. And there's, like, the gun that's, like, a bejeweled pistol. And
yes, I wrote, what kind of purse is that?
Oh, is it?
It's a purse. Yeah, because it has a strap, unless it is a gun that has a purse yeah, strap on it. I mean, I'm not putting right. anything past this movie. Let's just say it's a gun with a purse
listen,
strap on it.
The toy gun with a purse strap, they were, like, pointing it at each other. But then at the end of the movie, I think that's the gun she kills herself with. Because it has Maybe. A bejeweled, like, handle. And I was like, why would they okay. have a real fucking gun in that room?
Yeah, you bring up a really good point that I'm, like, becoming very, like, angry about.
Seriously, people, lock up your weapons if you have kids.
I have absolutely no issue if someone wants to own a handgun for self-defense or rifles mm-hmm. for hunting. But if you're going to own firearms, lock them up. Don't have them someplace where your kid is going to reach them. That's, like, another horrible reality
yeah,
of
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, and it sucks. Yeah, it happens every day and just...
Because it's dumbasses like yeah. this that are going to get right. our gun rights taken right. away. Like, not just the whole automatic mm-hmm. weapons thing, which I...
Right.
We should not have access no. to automatic weapons, like...
I mean, why do you want Las one? Vegas? How many people do you need to kill at one time, you know? Exactly. That's exactly it, though. You need a lot.
The Second Amendment was written when guns could mm-hmm. hold one bullet... Shoot, like, maybe one person at a time.
And then you have to reload
time,
it.
Two if you're lucky.
And it takes a minute to do that.
Yeah. But the four our founding fathers
never They used
never
balls
imagined.
And, like, little ball things and then gunpowder. And yeah. the stick thing.
The founding fathers would have never imagined some psychopath killing 30 college students. What was it but, at
yeah.
Sandy Hook?
It was, like, 20.
How many kids was it? Yeah, 28 kids and now 50 people in Las Vegas. The founding fathers would have never imagined one person was capable mm-hmm. of doing that.
Yeah.
So why do we need them? That's not what they had envisioned. And if we could go back in time and, like, show them yeah. video of what was going on, they would be like, what is this moving picture? But then be like, wow,
right.
that's really
yeah,
fucked
that is
up.
Really fucked up.
But that's my
anyway,
soapbox
yeah,
for the
like,
day.
Fuck that guy. But...
Own your handguns, own your hunting rifles,
yeah,
keep them away
them
from your kids.
In a safe thing, like, people have those, like, big cabinets where they're locked up. Just keep them in there.
Yeah, I mean, I know my uncle has an arsenal, but I have no idea what that arsenal is, and
yeah,
it has a key
there you
code
go, a key, perfect,
to
a key
get
code.
It open.
Exactly. That's all you need.
And when you're not using that gun, it goes back into the cupboard.
Yeah, it doesn't chill on the coffee table, loaded.
Like, especially... Jesus. Because I know little boys in particular, mm-hmm. they like playing with toy guns.
Right, right.
So if you leave a real gun sitting on your dining room table, their 3-year-old brain isn't going to distinguish
yeah.
the difference between the two. They're not going to be like, oh, this doesn't have an orange tip. That's
yeah.
a real gun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
because toy guns are looking more and more real by the day. That other than that... The only other thing I had to say about Kat was, if she's the killer, like, why isn't she...
The focus?
Why isn't she the focus, and why isn't she, if she has murderous tendencies, then they wouldn't, like, I don't know if they would have been trudged up, like, just because of this one afternoon, or, like, mm-hmm. shouldn't she be institutionalized, or shouldn't she be on medication, or should she not be allowed to hang out with friends, or, like, I don't know. So...
Right.
It's something, there's something missing here, you know, regarding her character. She's going to fucking kill everybody, including adults that she doesn't right. even fucking know.
And, you know,
yeah,
that's something else I find really hard to believe when it was revealed Kat was the killer. I forgot Kat was the killer.
Right. Yeah.
But now that I think about it, how can she take out two grown adults? In fact, how was she even there to kill the dad?
That's the thing. That's something I mentioned in my production notes, I think.
Okay.
Was it in my production notes? Yeah.
That far off from, like, the property.
Right.
So she was apparently there to kill the dad and his girlfriend, yes. but then she's back at the house with her dad?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, at one... Because what happens is, like... Okay, so for the kills, in the beginning, she doesn't really know those two people, yet she kills them anyway for no reason. They're not cyberbullying her, but she follows them, I guess, and then she slits the dad's throat in the car, which is, I guess, an easy kill because he's just sitting there and he doesn't know she's there, and she quickly does it while his window's open. But why is his window open? It's the winter. I don't know. Next is she must follow or chase down the one older lady because whenever there's a video of her being killed, it's her, like, bloody face, but she's laying across the hood of the car. So how is she like strong enough to kill her at the same time hold her phone in the other hand and record it? Or is it her dad recording it? Because he was like, I was recording you guys the whole time. But like, there's so many fucking holes in the timeline regarding Kat being the killer. It doesn't add up.
Kat is just your run-of-the-mill tiny 12-year-old girl.
I'll take her ass out. Like, she's tiny.
I would find it more believable if Georgie ended up being the killer.
Right, or even like, the...
Georgie has every reason to go on a psychotic rampage with the way her friends treat her.
I know, right? She's just... She doesn't get a break the whole movie. Like, once that first insult flies and she says she looks like a sausage, they don't stop.
Like, leave the poor girl alone.
I know, she isn't,
it's
like, saying anything.
It's just baby fat.
She's not saying anything to anybody else. Like, she's just like, guys, stop.
Had she gotten the chance to grow up, spoiler alert, they all die in the end.
Yeah, except for the new girl and the and
she would have
girl.
Had bodacious curves because she would have grown into her baby fat.
Yes, she would have.
And probably become the hottest of them all.
Exactly. I mean, but she's also bulimic. She's also bulimic.
Who isn't?
No, Frankie is, because remember she pukes in the toilet that one time?
Oh, right. But... Yeah, like I said, who isn't?
Right.
Bulimia is not a joke.
I know.
Kids at home.
Oh, yeah, I need to add that to...
It's a serious issue.
I need to add that to...
It's a serious issue.
Eating disorders.
This movie.
This fucking movie is just a train wreck. I think I wrote that in my production notes.
And Wikipedia said she talked to a friend's daughter, so she... doesn't have her own daughter, but she does have access to a girl in this age group.
Yeah, she has access to daughters.
And she does. And at the end of the day, it's really just her trying to make one of those herder technology bad youth is addicted, look how woke I am movies. And it's like, yeah, but you don't have kids in our generation to really understand. Granted, you and I were 12 years old 8 years before this movie came out.
Something like
but
that.
Things really haven't changed that much. I can tell you right now what my friend and I did when we had sleepovers.
Yeah, we talked about this last night, didn't we?
Yeah. When we were wasting good content on a Facebook conversation.
Yeah, I know, right? We really were.
But, let's see, when my friends and I would have sleepovers, we would rent at least 2 scary movies and 1 good romantic comedy to watch after the scary movies. We would talk about the boys we like, play Truth or Dare, and then, you know, as we got older and technology was becoming
relevant, we would take pictures and make stupid videos, and today I see...
sharing, like, videos they made 10 years ago in middle school with their friends being like, LOL, look how dumb we were. But they would just, like, make stupid music videos with their shitty Nikon cameras.
Yeah, sure would.
And then upload them to MySpace, and then... my friends and I would, like, just talk to random boys on MySpace, because that's something we all used to do, I'm sure, is just talk to strangers on the internet, even though our parents told us not to.
Talk to strangers in, like, chat rooms and stuff.
Meanwhile, oh, here are we, and we're trying to get
relations. It's a real horror show.
We're trying to build relationships online, and
it's
really weird how the stuff we were warned against in middle school is, like,
come full circle.
Is normal aspects of our life. The whole meme about, like, we now call strangers to get in their car.
Yeah, we do.
It's so true. Back when I was working in DC and had to take an Uber somewhat regularly, I would always text you or David, like, the license plate number of the Uber.
Give you a description. In case you never came home.
Yeah, because where I used to work in DC, there were two occasions where I had to take an Uber at, like, 5 a.m. when it was still dark outside to go set up for an event. And I'm like, you know, this is probably an opportune time for an Uber driver to kill me, if he were to kill me.
Yes, I would say that is a great time. Anyway.
But that's
all I have about story.
Yeah, that's basically just how I felt about it. Like, I don't have an issue with, like, the dance scenes when they're just dancing for no reason, but because that's something, like, girls our age would have done at slumber parties just to be stupid, but it's also something they would have filmed as, like, a quote-unquote music video put online. Before we move on to story, do you remember that whole, like, speech they had or discussion they had about, like, we could just put our phones down? That's literally impossible.
And lock them in the safe.
Yeah.
They, like, do lock them in the safe, don't they?
I think so, except for Sam.
Okay.
The other girl who gets, like, who has, like, a past of getting bullied.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But just that whole discussion, it's like, oh my god, could you be any more ham-fisted with what you're trying to tell us?
Impossible. Anyway, okay, well, let's move on to production.
Okay. let's wrap this motherfucker
let's,
up.
Yeah, let's wrap this motherfucker up. Production.
I thought the scenery was pretty.
Yeah, it was very... It was winter... In the middle of the woods, very beautiful. They're in New York somewhere, aren't they? Because they keep talking about, like, Greenwich and shit.
I think so. But then, you know what? They fuck it all up the second they have those god-awful social media cutaways.
Yeah, they do really fuck it up a lot.
It's just such a contrast, not in a good way. Like, a good contrast is whenever it's just stark whiteness and then you have that pop of red on screen. I love that shit so much. I wrote about it in my... Cult of Chucky review, now live on our website at realhorrorshow.com.
I'll have to read it.
Is that it kind of looks like a black and white movie, but then you have, like, Chucky and he's this pop of color. You have Jennifer Tilly walking in with her red jumpsuit.
Nice.
And it just, I love that kind of see, that kind of, like, composition in film. It just, it's very striking, very beautiful, but
yeah.
It's also not something to always write home about. The reason it stuck out to me with Cult of Chucky is because it's not what I expected with it. Because even though I just watched Curse of Chucky last year or something, that was more traditional horror and, like, a haunted house, what I'd expect from early Child's Play movies. And then when you compare that to Seed of Chucky, which was just straight up comedy. It was very bright, but then you have this one, which is just almost black and white with these pops of color. It looks fantastic, but Tara Subcock, I already forgot her name.
Yeah.
She's a model actress and I think a visual artist, so it's not surprising that she went with this, and for her background, I think it's very simple, and she probably could have been a bit more adventurous.
With the director, you mean?
Yeah.
Tara is the director? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying this wasn't an adventurous movie. I'm just saying it wasn't good.
Right, right. I mean, like, the house is beautiful. They do describe it as, like, the one little girl said, like, she should be happy that she's living in, a work of art. And the house is very big. But then I was like, why do they live in the middle of the fucking woods, though? Like,
right.
I don't know. It's such a modern modern house, like extremely modern. It's right in the middle of a rustic woodland. I expect it to be some sort of a fucking like big cabin house instead of a house made of glass, you know.
Why are they all just wearing their school uniforms outside of school? I just thought of that.
They really, yeah, they once, like, that's the thing I said, like, the one of my first notes, I was like, why are they all wearing the same clothes? And I was like, oh shit, they probably all came from school. I'm like, yeah, but I was like, why did they change?
Yeah, because if I went to a school with a uniform, I wouldn't wear that uniform. My mom probably wouldn't let me wear that uniform to a slumber party.
Right, because you gotta pay for that shit.
I would change into something comfortable and, right. I don't know.
There's fucking, yeah, anyway. What else is there? Like, blah, blah, blah. Nearly had a seizure watching the opening credits. Talked about that. Taking photos in the games they play. The noise is just everything. It's so overwhelming to watch. It almost makes me want to turn the shit off. Talked about that, too. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had for the production. Like, everything, I didn't like it except for the outside shots, the long shots. Even there's, like, shots inside of the characters with, like, the art behind them. It's all beautifully laid out, but it just doesn't kind of fit.
Right. So I love the soundtrack for this movie.
Uh-huh.
I think it is one of the best horror movie soundtracks to come out in a long time. Mm. It's very unique, and it really, if this was a good movie, it would have really, like, made the movie stand out altogether.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's phenomenal. It's done by, the whole score is done by EMA.
Okay.
All capitals, and it's just fantastic. I would highly recommend to anyone interested in this movie to just skip it and go listen to the soundtrack on YouTube.
Cause, right.
Like we said, you're really not going to miss anything when you watch this movie.
Not at all, yeah.
In fact, what you are going to miss is plot, a cohesive story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And likable characters.
Yeah, because neither of those exist in this movie.
This feels like the first draft of a screenplay, honestly.
Doesn't it? Like, yeah. They just, like, it was like a trial and error type thing. Like, let's try it out and see what happens.
and before the hashtag horror fandom comes after us, yes, Jacqueline, yes. Stormy and I are writers. I am currently outlining a novel. I have, at this point, with my character breakdowns, it's a 20-page outline, and then when I actually get to outlining the story, it's going to be longer than that.
Yeah.
So I know how to write a good story. I've written a good story in a play. It just hasn't gotten produced yet because people are afraid of cannibalism on the stage.
They shouldn't be. It's 2017.
And Stormy's a poet. She writes short stories sometimes.
Sometimes. I'm working on a novel-length thing, but it's taking a while, so.
I'll send you the outline template I'm using.
Would you?
Yeah, I'm giving outlining a try because
yeah,
I think it's going to really help me because I have the habit of I'll start writing a story and then just not know where I want to go with it.
Yeah,
and then I stop writing it.
That's my problem.
So I think this outline's really going to help me, and I really like the way it's broken down.
All right, cool.
So I'll send it to you.
Awesome. All right, thank you. Yeah, please do.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. But, okay, so the kill count.
Okay, yeah, go ahead
music,
with your kill count.
Music was great. Let me go through the kill count.
Yeah, that was the last note I had on production.
Including the suicide at the end. Yes, Kat commits suicide with the purse gun. But 5 die, and, like, including the husband and the art dealer in the beginning, and then only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 3 of the girls. So, like, Frankie, the other one, and, or Georgie, I mean, and then the other one, and then another one. But the only 2 girls that are left alive are the blonde girl and then the new girl. How many girls are there? There's, like, a bunch.
I don't fucking know.
Shit.
There's one, and it's split off into 6 personalities.
Yeah, pretty much. Jesus. But yeah, like, getting into, I made a list of, like, all the realistic scary things that could come out of this film, and since this film tries to pack it all in there, there's a lot going on. that's not, like, really built upon, but there's a lot, like, hinted at. of course, like, the first is bullying, because that's the only, like, the only thing written in the script is, like, them, like, insults, like, shooting insults back and forth at each other. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of dumb. Like, there's that, then, like, the fat shaming, which stems from the bullying, and then the eating disorders, because some of them, like, don't eat, and then some of them eat a lot and then purge, you know, stuff like that. And then they start to make hints that Kat was raped by her dad, the children being medicated because of something or the other, like a traumatic event. I know Kat's mom died, or, like, the other girls, just all this shit, and they're all medicated now for some reason. Then we see the parents being bullies to other people.
Yeah.
Which
that would have been an interesting way to go had this movie really put more thought into what it wanted to portray about cyberbullying.
Exactly.
Bullying, I mean, sometimes it just happens to kids, but a lot of times they learn it from their parents, seeing how their parents interact with each other or mm-hmm. with other people.
Right.
So then they implement that into their own real life.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, we don't see the parents interact with each other enough. The only time they do is, like, when Chloe, Zavini, and, like, the one guy talk, and then he's, like, once again, he, like, grabs her face and stuff and touches it, and I'd be like, what's, like, is that the only thing your character does, like, to scare people? Like, it's really annoying.
You know, it's kind of weird now that you mention it. We get too much of the parents, but also not enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like what we're given of the parents just isn't anything substantial.
It's not. It just kind of, like, relays maybe their background, like, in their work, like, what they do.
Exposition. So. It's more useless exposition that goes nowhere, just like the artist that went crazy and killed his entire party.
Exactly. And even the mom's friend that was telling her about this was like, why the fuck do you know about this? Are you obsessed with it? Like, what, are you in on it? Why even talk about it? Like, that's... It was the most useless conversation because they didn't talk about anything else. And then she went to, like, an AA meeting. Yeah. And the only reason I knew it was an AA meeting was because she went to a church for it. I was like, the fuck? And it was, but then she was there all day. And I was like, how long is this meeting? It's all day and all night. But other than that, like, moving on from that, then it, like, stems from how rich all the parents are. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, entitlement, except for the one girl who doesn't come from a wealthy family.
Right. For my, like, tying this into reality, for anyone who was paying attention to the internet last year, or is a follower of Rainbot on YouTube, really great YouTube channel, love her, and Kaylee Elise and Rob Dyke. That's his last name. It's not a slur. all of those people, I feel like, have touched on what was going on a few months ago. It was called the Blue Whale Challenge. I'm not sure if you heard of that, Stormy.
I have, yes. Can you remind me of it, though?
It's basically a game where kids were self-harming online, and it could lead to suicide. In fact, one girl in Russia, she did play the game to the point that she did kill herself by putting her head on train tracks and getting decapitated by the train wheel.
Jesus.
Yeah, you can look up the pictures online.
Why was it called Blue Whale Challenge?
I'm not really sure. I don't have any information readily pulled up on that. I probably should have, like, done that, but I'm not super advanced. I'll just let you retype your keyboard.
Okay.
But yeah, and murders on Facebook Live when the group of the Chicago black teens kidnapped that mentally disabled guy and, like, tortured him for hours, if not days.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
You know, I'm not going to criticize the film on that aspect because that is becoming a very realistic part of our society. Another thing, like, tying into this that happened, I think it was a promo for a game, but on YouTube, some Russian company was live streaming a girl they held hostage, and they made it look like she had a bomb strapped to her, and it looked very realistic, and people were concerned, and it was to the point that YouTube couldn't discern if it was real or not, that they disabled any live stream that was going up of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jeez. Like,
if you just, like, watch Rainbot's channel on YouTube, R-E-I-G-N-B-O-T,
uh-huh,
you'll see a whole bunch of fucked up shit that can appear online. In fact, she only scrapes, like, what's available on the visible web, but if you go into the deep web and the dark net,
yeah,
you're gonna find so much.
Find more stuff, yeah.
Fucked up shit.
Okay, so while many experts suggest Blue Whale was originally a sensationalized hoax, they believe that it is likely that the phenomenon has led to instances of imitative self-harming and copycat groups, leaving vulnerable children at risk of cyberbullying and online shaming. It is described as being based on relationship between participants and administrators. The administrators prescribe a series of duties that players must complete, usually per day, over 50 days, some which involve
mutilization.
Mutilation. What the fuck? Why can't I talk? The last task would be committing suicide.
Yeah. So it's a real thing.
But this happened, like, around the world. Like,
yeah.
It stemmed from Russia.
Of course it fucking started in Russia. From Russia. Of course it did.
What else do we got? Fucking,
like, my parents have gone to Russia, and I've seen their, like, video Jesus. Footage of going to Russia, and I know it's, like, this beautiful place, but I also envision it as, like, this really anti-America place.
Oh, yeah. You know, it where, definitely is.
Where everything here is kind of green and luscious, everything there is just white and snowy.
It's the tundra.
And you just have, like, these... It's filled with nothing but gangsters, mobsters,
and like polar bears,
parkour assholes falling from buildings, and just teenagers killing themselves.
And then, like, also polar bears because you're near Siberia, yeah. So you have to watch out for the and like wolves and shit, like, yetis.
There are two different Russias I picture, like the beautiful Russia with these beautiful palaces and
oh yeah, the
churches,
architecture.
And then just this sad third world Russia.
Yeah. Which is just, like,
Putin's doing
ice
a great
mountains.
Job. Putin's doing such a great job over there.
With Russia.
Yeah. Russia's, like, the real horror show over there.
That's the real horror show, actually. We should just have an episode on, like, how just scary Russia is.
Just have a Russia podcast. So, today in Russia.
Today on Russia. Yeah, today in Russia. One of the notes I made was being introduced to social media and electronics at a young age as a tool for mm-hmm. distraction, like
yeah.
distracting them from human interaction, and instead of, like, interacting with others, being told, you know, to, you know, go on your phone or, like, do whatever, play mm-hmm. games, and not being told something else to do.
Yeah, it's...
And that kind of...
It bothers me mm-hmm. with, how kids are being hooked on technology at such an early age, and this isn't me getting on my herder technology bad youth addicted. I blame the parents. I don't blame the youth. One thing that a lot of parents were bitching about recently, there are these weird, creepy kids, quote-unquote kids channels on YouTube. Uh-huh. I spend a lot of time on YouTube, by the way.
You definitely do.
I
already knew that.
It's where I get a lot of my entertainment. Yeah. But there are these creepy kids channels which are just these, like, demented parodies of cartoons, like
really?
Elsa having a baby, Doc McStuffins shoving a baby in a meat grinder.
Oh, really?
Stuff like
get
this.
Out. And they find yeah. it.
They find it because YouTube isn't discerning, like, the difference between that and an actual, like, episode of Peppa Pig. Which you can get online on their YouTube channel. So even though the kids are on YouTube Kids, it'll still come up as they're watching and they'll just think it's the next episode. But what I have to say to parents is don't leave your fucking kid unattended with a fucking device and then get upset when they find something they shouldn't see, because the internet isn't responsible for babysitting your child.
Right. No, it's definitely not. And then they... yeah, it's just... the snowball effect.
Yeah. It's the same bullshit that 1 million moms pulls all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what 1 million moms is, right?
No.
It's an organization where a bunch of angry moms and probably dads
who are tired of the trash on TV, like, harass the sponsors of certain shows to get the shows canceled.
Uh-huh.
Like, a good example of... A good example of one that they were really against in a show that I love, and I'm really sad that it got canceled, was Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment C. Or Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment C.
Yeah, and Apartment 23.
Apartment 23, thank you. Like, I love that show from what I saw on YouTube. Not YouTube, Netflix. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I should rewatch it soon.
Yeah.
But... I wasn't watching it when it first came out, but I occasionally just check their website to see what they're complaining about now. And yeah. They're constantly complaining about shows that are on at 10 or 11 o'clock at night when your children should be in bed.
They should be in bed, dude.
Like, it's not up to the... It's not up to TNT to make sure your kid isn't seeing what you don't want them to see. If you don't want them to see something, don't... expose them to it. That's why they invented the V-chip. Just go into your TVs and say, I don't want this TV to have access to shows that are rated TV PG.
Right. Or just, like, keep it on Netflix and then keep it on the kids' channel thing and then, like, I don't know, don't, but, like, put your remote away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Just let people create what they want to create, and if you don't like it, don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, every TV, like, network, cable network after 10 o'clock now allows swearing. Like, if you watch American Horror Story, they started, like, you know, shooting off the F-bomb because it's after 10 o'clock, the show's airing now.
Yeah.
Or it's 10 and after, yeah.
When Breaking Bad was on, they were allowed one F-word a season.
Really?
Yeah.
Because even on USA, if you watch, because I was watching Mr. Robot on USA, it's on at 10 o'clock, they swear constantly. Like, they say fuck all the time. And I'm just like, wow, like, this is like cable, though. And I'm just like, that's because I guess they loosened it up but it's only 10 and later.
Yeah, do you ever watch South Park?
No.
There's an episode, it's an older episode, and it was back when... It was a huge deal that the first network, not cable, but network TV show said shit for the first time on air.
Oh, wow.
And so the South Park guys, I love Matt and I love Matt Smith and Trey Parker so much. Yeah. They had an entire episode where I think they say shit like 100 times and they have a counter in the corner.
That's awesome. Just like,
but shit. Since you don't watch South Park, you probably don't know that the South Park movie... There's a certain amount of swear words, like F-bombs, you're allowed to say before the movie has to be rated NC-17.
Uh-huh.
And they were one below that number.
Nice.
I think it's, like, maybe 500 F-bombs or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's gotta be a lot.
Something like that. And their count came up to 499.
Wow.
And they did that intentionally. You would enjoy South Park.
Yeah.
It's very satirical.
That's good. Oh, man.
Very dark.
I don't have anything else to say regarding all the realistic stuff. I kind of just listed it out.
Yeah.
And then
I think you nailed it with just... Basically, there are elements of real horrors we endure during girlhood in this movie. It's just they're not... They get lost behind everything else going on in this movie.
Right.
Like, if I want a movie about bullying that's enjoyable, I guess. I mean, not that bullying's enjoyable, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
That's entertaining to watch, that makes me enthralled by the story, not that a girl is getting bullied. I will just watch the movie of the week on Lifetime.
The movie of the week?
I mean... There's one that I really love. It's about how a girl was, like, cyberbullied and then she killed herself, and at the end there's like a Mexican standoff in the driveway. Like,
Lifetime,
they're all pointing
movies,
guns at each other.
That's the real shit there. If you want to watch some crazy shit, Lifetime is where to do
it. If you want to see a movie about cyberbullying that just goes completely out of hand, just
Lifetime,
go watch
it up.
Lifetime.
Lifetime that shit up.
I miss I don't have cable in my new house, and I miss living in my old apartment building for, like, one reason, and that's because our treadmills in the building had TVs, and I could watch Lifetime movies while I worked out.
Nice.
That's the only time I really watched cable and caught up with them.
Right. Oh, God.
But anyway, I think...
Well, I think,
that about wraps it up.
It does.
Oh, goodness.
I know we're boring, but you don't have to yawn. Leave that for the listeners.
I'm sorry. I'm drinking a cup of coffee as we speak too, and I don't know what's wrong with me. It's, you know why, Sam? Because I don't know how the weather is. I don't know how the weather is there in the desert, but
I'm not in the goddamn desert. I live on a mountaintop.
Oh, well, here in the forests, you know, of the of Appalachia.
I am in the fucking heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. I'm in Appalachia. Appalachian than you.
Okay, well, I'm like further fucking north Appalachia, and like right bitch. Now, today it's been overcast all day, and I haven't seen the sun, which is great. I love days like this, but that's why it's making me tired, because it feels like it's like 7 o'clock p.m., but it's like 2:30.
Listeners, what's more Appalachian, Southwest Virginia or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh. Western Pennsylvania. I don't live in Pittsburgh.
Western Pennsylvania.
There we go.
Or Southwest Virginia, in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
I'm in the heart of, like, well, actually, no, I'm nowhere near the Appalachian Mountains right now, but I'm in the heart of the Allegheny Forest, though.
I live in the Appalachian Mountains.
Bro. Well, do you live in a cabin, Sam?
No.
Do I live in a cabin? No.
I live in a five-bedroom brick house.
I live in an apartment with a bedroom, with one bedroom. But
ain't no shame.
I'm like in the middle of like a heavily forested area because I'm like north of the city. Like
we officially closed the pool today. It was very sad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the true harbinger of fall is when we closed the pool.
Take the water out.
Richard did that last weekend.
Did it just like, is it an above ground pool?
No, it's a in ground pool.
How do you get the water out?
You just reverse the pumps and pump the water out.
And does it, like...
We don't pump all the water out. We only do a little bit, so it's not in the filters. And then we have the pool people come and put the cover over it.
When you say, like, pump the water out, you know what I imagined?
What, Jacqueline?
Like the pump spinning backwards real fast, so, like, it sprays the water up in geysers, and it just sprays it out of the pool. like a waterfall out of the pool, like... I'm like, wow.
We also have like a bunch of pumpkins because we grew some pumpkins.
Oh, that's awesome.
I need to get some brown sugar because I can't bake anything pumpkin spice related without it.
Aha. I have a ton of brown sugar.
Can I borrow some?
Yeah. Just come on up and get some.
No, drive it down here. I'm the one
baking.
Fuck
no. I want to bake too. What are you baking?
I think I'm going to just make a shit ton of pumpkin bread.
Ah, that's awesome. I'll have to do that.
But I want chocolate chips and chopped walnut. Mm. And what else could... Because I think I have enough to make three different kinds. Okay. I guess I could just do plain.
Yeah, just do plain.
Okay, I guess I'll be basic. Like a lot of spices. In case you can't tell, I'm trying to get us right up to an hour right now.
Yeah, well, we're about an hour. Wait.
Even though on SoundCloud right now we only have 37 minutes left of upload time, it's fine. I get freelance paid next week, so...
Oh, cool.
I'm still gonna do every other week for uploads.
Okay.
Shit. Before we forget, like the great podcasters we are, our movie for the next episode is 13 Cameras, another one that I've already seen.
Oh, sweet. I've seen that too. I fucking love that movie.
Really?
Oh my god, dude. I'm so happy. Bro.
Yay,
fucking
We'll actually have a good time.
Oh my god, I'm so fucking stoked. Because, like, I was talking to my friend, and he was like, there's a movie on Netflix called 13 Cameras, and it seems stupid. I'm like, fuck no, dude, that movie is fucking great. That movie's out of control.
Yeah, that's good. Simple horror right there.
All right, well, let me do the outro, and we'll wrap it up.
All right.
All right, so Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies, and is directed by Sam Odie. Today, what did we learn today? That if you put too much shit in a movie, it gets fucked up.
That 12-year-old girls are just the real monsters in the world.
Just don't play the blue whale game because it's dangerous. Don't go to Russia.
Don't kill your friends.
Don't go to Russia. Just don't go there because you might end up committing suicide. Because it's so terrible. All right. Like what you hear, you can find Real Horror Show on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear?
follow us on Twitter at @horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show, like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website and email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Leave us a comment and let us know. Or check out the contribute page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We post written reviews, wow, pretty frequently. We've been, like, on it. We've been on our shit.
Yeah, so, I think that justifies us disappearing for another 3 weeks again.
Yeah, like, look for Sam's review. She just wrote one on, what was it, The Cult of Chucky?
Yes.
Cult of Chucky, and then mine's going to be on Raw, which just came out on Netflix, like, a little bit ago. And then you also just did Gerald's Game, which is a fantastic film. Watched it the other day.
Oh, yeah.
10 out of 10 would recommend. So good. So, so good.
I'm probably going to watch it again tonight after the concert.
Good. Yeah. Keep your eyes open for the next written. Yeah, so blah, 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 written review of Raw. And then our next movie we're going to watch, 13 Cameras. Ooh, it's going to be a doozy. Do we have any other pertinent news right now? I think we're doing all right. Did your Blue Yeti mic come?
Yes, it came, and it works perfectly. I just don't have it in my possession right now.
Okay, awesome. Well, right on. I think that's it for us, so thank you. Fuck off, and have a swell evening.
See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks it is. All right, ta-ta for now.
Bye.
Bye.